You feed us, you wash us, you dress us, you sing to us, you watch us when we are sleeping, you explain to us the different causes of war, you explain to us that night follows day. 17 children, ages 8 to 14, make up the cast of That Night Follows Day. The children address an adult audience, cataloging how parents and other adults shape children's perceptions and understanding of the world. Laura Lamb saw the Push Festival performance of That Night Follows Day, and she joins me with her comments. Hi, Laura.
Morning, Mort.
Pleasure to have you back in the studio.
It's nice to be here.
What interested you about this play?
Well, I guess what you just read is pretty well straight from the brochure, and that intrigued me. I wanted to know, how do parents craft the world of children? And it's an interesting, as a parent, something that kind of meant something to me personally, of course. And I wanted to see how these 17 children performed. I guess, you know, kids are kind of hard to resist.
And what did you see? What was the play? How is the play presented?
Well, it was pretty well just exactly what the brochure said, and not much more. The audience, you know, sat in the audience place as usual, and there's a set, which the set was a swing set, a really beautiful large swing set. Very simple, and you watch that for a while, and then the children start to come in, and they're very kind of contemplative. They're very quiet. They sit on the swings, but you know, they seem to be thinking deeply, and they don't say anything for a long time. You're just watching these children sitting very quietly and calmly on the swings, and kind of looking around, and then they bit by bit just form a line at the front of the stage, a straight line, you know, right across. And they start speaking. They start basically with this catalog of utterances, and each one starts with you. At first, they're speaking in a chorus all together, all 17 of them together. And so every sentence starts with you, like you give us, you teach us, you try to explain, and you know, each sentence is finished with something like you teach us not to play too near the road, you try to explain the theory of electricity, you tell us that something happened in Paris, you know, and it goes on and on like this for I guess about 90 minutes. With the children moving around a little bit, sometimes speaking in a chorus, sometimes individually or in duets, I guess you could say. As this carried on, I'm kind of sitting there, when's the play going to start? and jumping ahead to the end, in the lobby afterwards, I heard an audience member saying in a puzzled tone something quite similar. She said to her friend, I was kind of expecting something more. And the friend said, yeah, like I was expecting the kids to act.
So was it boring? Was it just obvious?
Well, you know, I shouldn't really pretend to be quite as surprised. You know, I mean, something in me was kind of surprised and disappointed, and another part of me knew very well that, you know, it was likely to be something like this, because this is experimental art. This is the Push Festival. It's where boundaries are pushed. And the avant-garde art tries to undercut conventions, not often giving the audience what it wants or expects. So, you know, you go in there expecting entertainment, catharsis, suspense, drama, something like that. But avant-garde theater often tends to emphasize that theater is a construct. Theater is, you know, not a window to the world. It's not just a mirror or a naturalistic copy of the mirror. It tries to of the world. It tries to draw attention to its own artifice. And you know, I've gone to university. I've studied this stuff. I've even taught this stuff. So, So I began as a member of the audience who, you know, was hip.
Okay.
To get into the spirit of this by intellectualizing what I was hearing.
Okay, so you have that advantage. And using that advantage, what did you think about this?
Well, what really struck me, beyond the obvious that, you know, children learn from adults, is how humans are formed, how we're constructed by language. This play really demonstrates how language, or what sometimes called speech acts, make humans what they are.
And what is a speech act?
Well, the idea is when you say something, when anyone says anything, you're not just describing the world either correctly or incorrectly. It's similar to what I was saying about the theater. Language isn't just a mirror of reality. Language actually changes the world, and when you speak, you're exerting power over other people. So the classic example of a speech act when it first began to be discussed in philosophical writing was when a person who has the power, like a preacher or a justice of the peace or a ship's captain or something, says, "I now pronounce you man and wife." That is an act of power. But then that idea has kind of been expanded so that many people now say that just about any utterance is a speech act. So, for instance, in this play, when the kids moved away from things like, you know, "You tell us not to play with matches," and they go into things like, one section was "You call us," where they start to talk about how parents name their children, like pet names. "You call us princess," "You call us little tiger," "You call us trouble and a half," "You call us brainiac." So this kind of act of labeling forms a person, and it's an act of power. So, or other parts, the children start speaking things that are maybe a little bit more problematic than the kind of caring parents we want to see ourselves, or caring adults, when they say things like, "You tell us that death is too good for some people. You tell us AIDS is God's punishment. You tell us grandma is a hypochondriac," you know. So we've all been children. We've all been formed by these speech acts of people who are more powerful than us, and the implication is that these speech acts construct a world this way. We construct our world, but we could, if we were different, if we were another culture, we could construct a child's world or understanding of himself or herself in a completely different way.
So people think they're going to the theater, and as you say, the theater, though it pushes cutting edge, still theater has associations, and now they're getting a lesson on speech acts. Is that the sum-all, be-all of the performance?
Well, if it was, I really would have been disappointed, because as, you know, my first thought is, is this all there is? And then I thought about the speech acts a bit, and I thought, well, yeah, but is that all there is? And I started to feel, to examine myself and realize that actually I was enjoying this play. I was moved by it. For me, I don't feel that an artwork that just illustrates an idea is ever enough. I won't, if I want to be enriched, it has to get me in the gut somehow. And so, you know, there were audience members laughing during this play because some of the things the kids said were kind of cute. But that, you know, like they said, one thing that struck me was, "You tell us that it's not necessary when writing a postcard to put the Earth, the solar system, and the universe." But, you know, that wasn't really enough. What really got me was it was sad. It was, there was something moving, something kind of poignant about it. And I thought that was a bit odd.
And what was it, do you think, that got to you in your emotional life?
I think what helped me get there was the way it was performed. This kind of, it wasn't really a play. It was more like a choral reading with the children just reciting these words. And that was very rhythmic. And there were a lot of repetitions, and that kind of puts you in a kind of a hypnotic space. And then you're being, you know, you in the audience. It's you, 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 again and again. You're being hailed, you know, like, this is for you, you in particular, you, adult, you, parent. And that kind of, that has to grab you a little bit. But what really grabbed me, I think, was the calmness of the children. It was almost eerie. I mean, you know, kids are usually not that calm. Some kids are more calm than others, and all kids have calm periods. But 90 minutes of 17 children being, you know, no highs. Well, there was a point where they all shouted, but it was very controlled. It didn't really seem like it. You know, that they were really excited. They were just shouting because it was time to shout. But mostly they were, there was this very even calm, you know, no laughing, no whining, no whimpering, no screaming, no giggling. It must have been very hard for the kids not to giggle. And that also, you know, it made things kind of contemplative. And there was something very sweet and sad about it. You know, I started to think these kids, they didn't seem like kids anymore, but kind of like beings, like existential beings, but kind of new, kind of fresh, like a grass that had just pushed up.
And what made them appear that way?
Well, they seemed very lonely somehow. They were maybe because they were in this position of explaining things to us adults, this reverse position, like children that very patiently, calmly explaining something extremely simple to us, you know. And that's kind of lonely, I think, for children when they have to parent, when they have to reverse that situation, and so they don't have any parent then. And I think it was also because of the gulf between the children and the adults, this physical separation, you know, that just the theater, the lights, and the fact that there wasn't any theater there. You know, there was no action. There was no narrative supporting them or giving what they were saying meaning. They were just there. It was just this lonely existential situation. They were all alone up there. And somehow they seemed very brave to take that on. You know, they were just there. They were just these sort of tender young humans and very much like, you know, I really identified with them. There they were, you know, just like the rest of us.
You fell in love with them.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the most important communication.
Yeah.
That they are lovable. That they deserve love.
In a way that's even more than the way that we usually love them and care for them, even beyond that.
Well, thanks for coming in with this. As always, stimulates new reflections. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks.